It's time for the Bench Warmers, featuring Dave Schwartz from Care 11.
Dave's the killer!
Yeah!
And Jill Hammy.
The Hell League you've been playing in.
Schwartz and Hammy. Sounds like a cop sitcom. On the next Schwartz and Hammy, I'm gonna get you, sucker. The Bench Warmers.
Let's go! Let's go!
On Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
You're all...
You're awesome?
Am I on?
I thought you said you're awesome.
Yeah, okay. That's a good... We're off to a great start. It's about how my March Madness bracket looks.
Oh,
that's how excited.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the Bench Warmers. Dave Schwartz, Jill Hammy across the glass, beacon of sunshine. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning. I am a ray of sunshine. On
you
this
are
day,
a ray
we
of
are
sunshine.
Supposed to get 5+ inches of snow.
It's already started. It was snowing on my way in.
What?
This
it's
sucks.
It's not snowing here.
It's spring. Doesn't anyone know it's spring?
Apparently, the weather doesn't.
Come on, Mother
and
Nature.
And again, of course, somebody always happens. This is Minnesota.
Don't do it. Don't call or tweet us and say, this is Minnesota, you should accept this. I refuse to accept
this. I completely agree with
and
you.
And I boycott jackets, by the way, once spring starts.
I see that.
I'm not wearing a jacket.
I
am wearing pants, just not a jacket.
Later on.
Pants or the jacket?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Let's hope.
Maybe some leggings.
We will. We have a lot to get to today, including leggings. No, we're not going to talk leggings. That's a bad idea. Give us a call. We welcome your opinion, as always, through the show. 651-989-9105. Give us a call. You will get the wonderful Sean Hill over there.
Sean
Hi, Sean. Good morning, Sean Hill. He is our backup quarterback.
He gave us a thumbs up.
Really number one
he's
in our
ready.
Hearts. He's ready to go take your call today. We have some fun to get to. We will talk some March Madness. We'll talk about the Gopher women's hockey team in just a little while. We will be joined by former Wild, Minnesota Wild forward Mark Parrish, who now calls games as well for St. Cloud State. He's also a former Husky. His team lost last night in the NCHC tournament. So we'll talk to him in a little bit. And we will also play over-under. No, we won't. We're playing who's on first today. I got my games wrong.
See, you screwed that one up.
We were
way to go, Dave.
This is like a race where the gun goes off and the guy just trips and falls on his face.
That's us every day.
Everyone runs past him.
Every day.
And I lose. That is my life. No, that's not true. I am the race winner. Not usually.
I thought you were going to say not you.
Not
and I'm
me.
Like, you are very right.
Thank you.
I am not.
Thank you, Jill. How's your bracket? Tell us what place you're in your
54.
Pool.
54.
That way it wasn't 54th. You told me something different a little while ago.
Well, I said 1,000th at first because it may as well be 1,000th. Place.
I'm in fourth of my, let's see, I think I have 5 people in my brackets. It's like a bunch of guys at work. And I am, let's see, where am I? I am in fourth. Slightly ahead of the guy who organized the bracket and far ahead of a guy who forgot to fill out his bracket. So I'm doing very well after the first couple rounds.
I was forced to fill out a bracket.
But when we talked about this before, and this is a borrowed take, but I forget who said it, so I'll just claim it. If you're spending a lot of time on your bracket, I really think you're just wasting it. I think you're wasting your time. Because, I mean, at this point, what ESPN said, there's like maybe one perfect bracket left.
Oh,
maybe out of 70 billion. I mean, it's impossible. And every year, there's always upsets. And it's what makes it fun. Don't get me wrong. That's why this tournament is great. But you cannot possibly really think if you're going to plop down your $10 or your $5 for one bracket, fine. But I've been asked, and I've been asked before, $20 a bracket.
Oh,
get in this pool and you can win, $1,700. No, you can't.
Hey, you made
you
a can. Money.
You can't, yeah, that's true too. You might as well buy a lottery ticket because it's just there. It's such a crapshoot. Can I say that on the air?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, you just did, so. Well,
hopefully I won't get too many fines. It's such a crapshoot that if you're going to win, so in my mind, I put down and I play a $10 tournament. Mm-hmm. It's $10 to make it more interesting for me for the next month because I'm not the biggest college basketball guy. And to be honest with you, a lot of us couldn't name all the rosters. For college basketball,
no.
You pick based on jersey, based on some of us pick based on mascots or colors, but it's not.
I
like blue, and I think the Wildcats could beat a devil. I mean, it's just so
yeah.
It's not
very random.
You can try to be scientific about it, but there is no science to this.
No.
So, it's been a fun first couple days. I think a lot of people have talked. So much about the upsets and how many, is this the biggest upset-laden tournament in the first round? And for me, it's been fun, but I read an interesting article, and it comes from the 538.com, which is a really cool thing, where they give point systems based, they call it underdog points.
Oh.
And as much as everyone thinks this year's March Madness is the greatest, at least for the first round, as far as upsets, it's actually not. Last year was higher, and these are based on the points. I won't go through all the points and everything, but last year was higher. 2 years ago was higher than that, and then somewhere in the middle, 3 years ago, excuse me, and somewhere in the middle. But this is basically what it's saying is this year, as much as we really think that there's been so many upsets,
it hasn't.
It really hasn't. There have been great games. I mean, you can't take away the fact that the Georgia State game was awesome, the coach falling out of his chair.
Yes, that was so cool.
He goes into the locker room and with a camera right in front of his face says, you know, get this, Obama. You know, you shouldn't have picked against us. Of course,
yeah.
I'm the Georgia State athletic director, SID. I'm going, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? Please, could we not talk about the president on national television?
Things like that happen in moments like these.
They do. And it was a fun game. It was fun to see him do that. So that's March Madness. Good luck in your pool. Are you still, even though you're in 1,000th place, do you still enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, I always try to root for the underdog because I am one.
Oh,
so,
good.
You know, it's cool to see these kids that nobody thought they would be where they are.
Right.
Be where they are.
And now, when your bracket is completely busted and your winner is out.
I think we're pretty.
Will you burn it or do you just toss it in the trash? There are some people that get really frustrated. I mean, like they light it on
mine
fire.
Mine is electronic, so I'm pretty sure our IT guy would be very angry at me if I lit my computer on fire.
You office space on that computer?
I could.
Be a gangster.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah. The other part of March Madness is Gopher Women's Hockey. And there's so much more to the month of March Madness, but it's been a fun ride here. The Gopher women's hockey team, they will play for the NCAA championship tonight, 3 o'clock this afternoon, rather, against Harvard.
And that will be right here on 105 The Ticket.
Yes, you can listen to it right here. I don't think you can get tickets. I'm pretty sure it's sold out, which is awesome,
yeah.
Which I love. It's not on television again, which I hate. We've talked about this before. This is such a big miss for the NCAA,
yeah.
Why this game does not get on television.
It should be.
I've written
Absolutely.
About it. I've talked to NCAA officials about it. I don't understand why they can't. And I know there's reasons. I know there's money. I know there's contracts involved. But figure out a way. Get this game on television.
So here. You listen to it here.
So listen to it here. It should be fun. Brad Frost going for his, third national championship. Third national championship in 8 years. And what's interesting to me is the idea that they obviously have a dynasty going.
Mm-hmm.
And so where does Brad Frost go from here? And does he continue to coach the University of Minnesota? Does he continue to just keep winning and winning and winning? The inclination in our society, unfortunately, is the way, and I'll say it like that, is that the highest level you can achieve is male athletics.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. And I'm not going to lie about that. It's unfortunate because
it is.
What they've done, what the Gopher Women's Hockey team has done, what the Lynx do, those kind of things is awesome and it's fun to watch and it's just as important, if not more important, than male sports. But people are going to ask the question, and I want to ask it now, and I think it's going to be asked at some point, is will Brad Frost ever decide to jump over to the men's side? Because he's done everything he can do now on the women's side. He's won championships. He's been National Coach of the Year twice. He's been WCHA Coach of the Year 4 times. He could do this 60 more times. I mean, he's a young guy, too.
Yeah.
So he could keep doing this. But at what point does he ask himself or does the University of Minnesota, if Don Lucia decides to retire, whenever that may be, decide to say maybe we should put this on the men's side because it's a bigger revenue sport. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mariucci sells out, makes more money than Ritter for a lot of home games. That's the truth. That's not a denying fact. So could he do it is my question. And I kind of pondered this and I thought back and forth because I know Brad very, very well and I like Brad a lot. He's a fantastic coach. There is a very, very big difference though between the men's game and the women's game.
And so
he's never coached the men. He's only coached the women.
It would be a challenge.
It's a challenge. Egos
maybe
are bigger.
That's what he wants.
Egos are bigger, but Brad Frost can handle it. Knowing him as well as I do, I don't think there's no doubt in my mind he can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it comes into play is the fact that it's completely different strategy because you have to take into effect the hitting, the size, you have to balance your scoring. When you look at women's hockey, it's scoring lines going from 1, 2, 3, 4, strongest to weakest.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at men's hockey, it's scoring line, maybe a secondary scoring line is your third line, and then your fourth line is your goons and your checkers and your hitters.
Right.
And so that's a different strategy. But he knows the game, and so I think there's a learning curve, and that to me that's the thing. It's, will a program be willing to let him learn how to coach at that level? Because when you have, so Grant Patolny is the assistant right now with the Gophers, and he would obviously, I think, should Don Lucia retire, be a logical choice.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the game very well. He's not been a head coach. So would you rather have a guy who hasn't been a head coach at the men's level, or would you rather have a guy who hasn't coached men but has been incredibly successful at the women's level?
I would say the women's level.
Yeah.
I would say him. I would say Frost. And I think he knows enough about hockey. I don't think there's any question about it. And I do think there would be a learning curve with him learning how to coach men, but mm-hmm. I don't think it would be much of a learning curve.
What I think makes Brad Frost great and what makes good coaches great is that they know how to inspire and that they know how to motivate.
Yes.
He knows how to do those things. You can't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
And really, with hockey, it's about going out and playing.
Yeah.
It's not about, you can draw a lot of X's and O's, you can try to do the line matchups, you can try to do all this. But in the end, it's about your five players going against their five players and going.
Yeah, I don't think you'd have a problem with it.
Breakouts are breakouts and all that stuff. So this is an interesting thing to me. We'll take some calls on this as well if you want. 651-989.
9105.
Thank you. Did I give the wrong number earlier?
No, you just said it wrong.
651-989-9105. I hope I didn't give out Mark Parrish's number on the air. If I did, I apologize, Mark. We'll talk to him in just a little bit.
Cursing you right now.
Part of me says Brad Frost, I'd love to see if he can coach on the men's side. But the other part of me says I love what he brings to the Gopher women's hockey team and the success that every year you know they're going to be a contender. And it's fun. I mean, it's always fun to cover a championship. And we've
yes.
covered so many of them over the last couple of years.
Yes. And your question of could he absolutely coach men's? Should he? I think that's the real question.
That's the real question. He's a great guy. Again, they're going to go for a national championship today, 3 o'clock. You can hear it on 105 The Ticket. If you can find a ticket, you can go at 3 o'clock. Again, Harvard is this afternoon.
Harvard.
Brad Frost, 8th season. Unbelievable. If he wins today, three national titles.
That's crazy.
I talked to him the other night and I said, how do you keep doing this? Because it's different players every mm-hmm. year. It's a different mix. And let's not forget, they're doing this year without Amanda Kessel, who's gone.
Right.
Amanda Kessel, who was the best player they could have last season, went on to the Olympics and she's great. And they're doing this without all of them. So it's an interesting idea. Maybe we'll ask Mark Parrish about it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering if, what he would think of that as well. We will talk to Mark Parrish, former St. Cloud State Husky, former member of the Minnesota Wild, and currently he is a broadcaster and still follows the Wild quite a bit. So we'll talk to him about some Wild hockey, some St. Cloud State hockey, and maybe some Gopher women's hockey as well. That's coming up next on the Benchwarmers. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
The Benchwarmers on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Oh, wait. I know it.
Yes, you do. How do you not? Come on.
I don't know who's singing. I forget.
Hadaway,
What Is Love? That's right.
Yes.
What is love? Love is a Wild victory.
Yes.
They beat St. Louis yesterday, 6-3. They put up 6 goals on St. Louis, a team they could very well meet in the playoffs. They insist, though, Zach Parise, party line, though, this wasn't about sending a message.
The postseason's so different, and we've got a long ways to go, and we got to worry about just getting there. But we're playing well, and it was a big win for us against these guys. It's always a tough opponent. You know, you look at the standings this morning, where there's not a lot of room. So regardless of who we're playing, we need to win. And like I was saying earlier, we know how tough these guys are to play against, and we don't have room right now to have games off. So that's been our approach.
BS. I call BS. Mark Parrish, former Minnesota Wild forward, joins us now. Hi, buddy. How's it going?
Oh, hold on. It helps if I actually get him on the phone.
Mark, are you there?
Oh, good. Now I'm talking to somebody else. For a second, I was talking to myself. That's sometimes my best conversation. entertaining in there.
No one ever interrupts that way, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good. Hey, Parisi says it wasn't a message. It wasn't, they weren't trying to show that they were the dominant team. Do you believe it?
Well, every game you're trying to show you're the dominant team. Yeah, that's winning. You want to go out there and flex your muscles, and just in case you do play them again, they can remember just how good you are. So, yeah, it's kind of bogus. I have to agree with you on that. I mean, he's downplaying it a little bit just because that isn't their main focus, but by any means. But yeah, that's they want to go out there and start strutting their stuff now. This is the time of year where you want to bring your best foot forward, whether you're trying to hang on to a wild card spot or you're first in the league, or no matter what it is, you're not even focusing on the other team. You're focused on yourself.
I love your opinion and your viewpoint from being a former player. From your, in your instance, the fact that they haven't lost two in a row since the middle of January, how difficult is it from a player perspective, just how amazing it is to continue to come back every time after a loss? How do you do that? I mean, is that really as impressive as it seems?
It is. It is. It shows the strength of the character, the commitment in that locker room. To just not let them not, you know, you can't keep a good man down, you can't keep a good team down. And that's, you see a step, the difference between a good team, you know, they'll make the playoffs, they do all right. A great team, well, they never stay down long. They have a commitment, they have a bounce back, there's a reaction, they never get stuck. You never hear about big losing streaks at all, if any.
How helpful is it that this team is getting so much secondary scoring when the third line and fourth line has really contributed so much over this stretch? They're not outscoring the first two lines, but to get that secondary scoring this time of year, how big is that?
There's a huge difference for players like Koivu and Parisi, Pominville, Vanek, those guys. When they go out there and they know they have to score, they can't really just kind of relax and go play their game. When Stewart's scoring goals again, Niederreiter, all these guys are coming in and Bergenheim, everybody's scoring goals. It's been fun as heck to watch. and they can go out there and relax and play too. It works both ways. And then when you get those guys relaxed and playing better, well, they're just going to put up bigger numbers.
You brought up Vanek, Mark. The slowest start for him. Now he's third on the team in points, 47. A lot of it's assists, some of it are goals. Do you feel like the Wild have gotten their money's worth out of Thomas Vanek this year?
Well, yeah, he's gotten his numbers. I'm sure he'd probably like more goals. I'm sure he considers himself more of a goal scorer. He puts in knowing this as a player and knowing Van, is he's putting more pressure on himself than anyone else's. I know he doesn't show, he's got a pretty low heart rate, kind of like an alligator, but he cares and he wants to be the go-to guy. He's always been that guy in Buffalo. He's been in situations where he's always been that guy. So he has that pride. You know, whether they got their money's worth or not, I guess you can ask Chuck on that. But other than that, you know, I know that he would like to score some more goals. But that being said, he's helped turn this team around just like anybody else lately.
Yeah, he has, which is nice to see from him, because I think everybody was kind of, they weren't real happy.
Well, you know, and that's kind of typical Van. If you look back at his career, he's kind of a slow starter.
Yeah, he was. And I'm wondering, like, at this point in the season, with the season winding down, is this the time of year? Is it one game at a time? Are they trying to not look too far ahead right now?
Well, it's one shift at a time. It's not even one game. Yeah. You're looking at the first shift, and then you worry about the second shift, and then you go to the second period, and you go from there. You don't look at the other uniform. You worry about your process and the X's and O's that Yo and Rick Wilson and those guys have put in place.
And they've had some stellar thirds as of late.
Yeah, and how nice was it to see the second period kind of explode for
a
little bit?
That was great, and then it fell apart a little, but then they came back.
Yeah, but at least they scored.
I know. I'm just saying. There was a moment, and again, that's what you were talking about with the rebounding, being able to rebound like that and not stay down. That was really good to see.
Yeah, especially against a team like St. Louis. They are potent. They've got all the tools, all the weapons that you can happen or ask for as a coach up front. And when they start getting hot, it can be pretty terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
For Yo to take that time out and just calm things down, that goes to his poison. It goes to the confidence that team has behind him.
Yeah.
Mark, the Wild sit at 87 points right now in the Western Conference. The numbers that I've heard, 95, 93, 92, magic number to get in. What do you think is the magic number for them at this point to make it?
Don't even worry about that. They're like I said, they're just get as many points. There's no magic number to them. It's just get as many as you can. You know, it's, you can't guess at something like that because Winnipeg is rolling right now.
Yeah. Right.
Vancouver's right behind them. I mean, this and Calgary's right there, and you got to be a fool to think that Daryl Sutter is getting ready to throw up a white flag in LA.
Not.
And so yeah, there's really no time to look at a magic number right now. It's just staying ahead of those guys.
Do you worry about the pace? I mean, basically the burnout. This team has been playing playoff hockey since January. Is there an aspect that they could get too tired as you head to the postseason, or are at this point are they just rolling so much that it's actually better?
I have to say the latter. It's this is the way you want it. You want the guys playing this hard. If you ask any coach, they want every single game, all 82 of them like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you from experience, it's physically impossible. and they know that too, but that's their goal, and that's what you strive to be as a professional. And that's your job, more or less, if I say job. That kind of sounds a little rude about being paid for sport, but anyway. We look forward to the second season way more.
Yeah.
I mean, those little bumps and bruises, the way we're playing now, that's all for the playoffs. So, yeah, the little things go away really, really quick. So I wouldn't be concerned about that at all.
What happened to your Huskies last night, buddy?
Oh, they fought hard. Hard.
Yeah.
No trouble sleeping.
Oh, man.
What are the chances of an at-large bid? I mean, I know they kind of limped in. I heard that they're probably better for them to win the whole thing to get a bid, but do you think that they have any shot at an at-large?
Yeah, I hope so. They certainly deserve it. The NCHC has just been incredible this year.
Yeah.
And they've been right in the thick of things all year long. And it's games like this, it's, you know, they've had a couple sweeps in Nebraska. One was like that 3-2. They were just there. They just need one more guy to step up or whatever it was. It was such a, they really, really did play well. So it's frustrating for me to have watched them and see how good of a job Bob Motzko has done there and see them kind of on a bubble because they're a much better team than their record shows.
Talking with Mark Parrish, former Minnesota Wild forward, also does St. Cloud State Husky games on television up in St. Cloud. Has the fan base embraced the NCHC, or is there still a pocket that will hold out forever for them to get the band back together in the WCHA?
Yeah, I still think the wound is still a little fresh for some people. But they're still a little ticked off about the WCHA disbanding. So it's interesting, but they're starting to come around. I think they're realizing just how deep the NCHC, how good they are for a league that just started. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And I think it starts with the coaching from Blasey to Bob Motzko, Dean Blaze, mm-hmm. Andy Murray. I mean, there's fantastic coaches everywhere you look. And it's, Sandlin. And you know, it's so much fun to watch all these different teams and different hockey minds come through St. Cloud.
Last question for you, buddy. In let's say 10 words or less, put on your GM hat. Do you sign Devin Dubnyk long-term in the offseason? And if so, how long do you sign him for?
Oh, boy. That is a doozy.
You can go more than 10 words.
Somewhere between 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
You have to, right? I mean, it's...
You got to give him a term. I think he's earned that. And mm-hmm. he's kind of a fool to go for anything less than Drake.
Yeah.
Mark, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for coming on. Good to talk to you. We'll chat soon, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Mark.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Take care.
You too.
Mark Parrish, former Minnesota Wild forward, and hell of a golfer, by the way.
Hit
the ball a country
before.
Mile. He's a very good golfer.
Ball every now and again.
He is. He's doing a great job. He does the St. Cloud State Husky games up there. He does a great job. I know he bleeds his Husky, so I'm sure that was tough
for him
last
night.
I love
how he speaks. I love his no BS.
You know what? He's always been that way.
I love that.
And he's always been that way, even when he was a player. Even when I talked to him, I'm fortunate now to be friends with him afterwards because I always enjoyed interviewing him in the locker room. But he's always that guy.
Even
now that he's no longer a player, he's always willing to chat with you. He's always with a smile on his face, always ready to talk hockey and by the way, has some of the greatest stories that are not appropriate for radio or television that you'll ever hear about.
You'll have to relay some of those
later. About him and his time in the NHL. So our thanks to Mark Parrish. Great to have him on. So thank you very much. Yeah. We will take a quick break. We'll come back. We will play Who's On First. We will discuss, let's see, we're going to talk some Twins. We're going to talk some Gopher basketball, and we'll talk some other things as well. You can play at home, too. And we're, of course, taking your calls, 651-989-9105. Sean Hill's waiting your phone call back there. We'll be back. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
You're listening to 105, The Ticket. Back to the bench warmers.
We are tripping out of the gate today.
You know, strange it may seem, they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names like Dizzy Dean and
his brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
I'm their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean. Oh, I see. Well, let's see. We have on the bags. We have Who's On First.
There it is.
Yes.
Who's On First?
Who's On First?
All right, we got a lot to get to, so let's get right into this one.
Okay. So, I'm going to ask. Wow, Dave, what's going on?
Should we explain the rules? Who's on first?
I haven't had any caffeine today.
All right, I'll explain while Jill gathers, the beacon of sunshine gathers her thoughts. We're going to give two scenarios, and it's my job and Jill's job to decide which one will happen first. You, of course, can play at home by yelling at the radio. We can't hear you. If you call, we can. That in a little bit. All right, hit it.
All right, so the Twins have a player. Will the Twins have a player hit for the cycle or have a pitcher throw a no-hitter?
All right, first let me say that that neither will happen this season. I'm just going to go ahead and get that out of the way.
I will agree with you there.
Maybe the next two seasons. I'm going to say that someone will hit for the cycle first, simply because it just seems to me that that's an easier thing to do than throw a no-hitter.
Yep, that's exactly what I said here.
You look at their guys, Brian Dozier, Aaron Hicks, Oswaldo Arcia, guys who have the potential to hit for the cycle.
Yep, absolutely.
The last one was in 2009, Michael Kadir. And surprisingly, and I had to do a double take on this one, Jason Kubel.
Kubel!
I'm not sure how Jason Kubel legs out a triple.
Yeah!
I'm sure there were some drops in there. Carlos Gomez did it in 08. So, but the no-hitter is an interesting thing because Phil Hughes came very close. It was his second career start. He's had some injuries, so it's been a while.
It's just too hard.
It's difficult. I want to call him Johan Santana. His actual name is actually Johan Santana, but it's Irvin Santana.
Yes.
But his birth name is Johan.
Oh.
Did you know that?
Why'd he go with Irvin?
He just likes the name, apparently.
Well, all right.
Yeah, so he changed it to Irvin.
He had a no-hitter.
He actually has pitched a no-hitter in 2011. Mm-hmm. Against Cleveland, will be pitching against on a regular basis.
Yes.
Different Cleveland team.
Yeah, very
than it was
different.
In 2011.
Yes.
Last no-hitter here, Liriano in 2011. Before that, 1999, Eric Milton.
Oof.
So I believe that hitting for the cycle when you have three guys, maybe four, if you think Trevor Plouffe might be able to do it, when you have three to four guys who really have a shot at ever getting a cycle versus really two pitchers
that have absolutely.
I really don't see Ricky Nolasco ever throwing a no-hitter. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't ever see Trevor Malone throwing a no-hitter or Brad May.
It'd be great if we were wrong.
Or Kyle Gibson or Mike Pelfrey.
I know. Okay, the list can stop.
Mike Pelfrey might throw an all-hitter. No, that's not nice. All right, I'm making enemies.
Yeah, you are. Stop it.
All right, let's go.
No one will ever want to be on the show ever again. Next question.
Certainly not Mike Pelfrey. Sorry, Mike.
Who moves on to their next job first, Marlene Stallings or Richard Pitino?
Oh, this is a tough one. This is a tough one.
I know. I kind of went back and forth with this one, too.
I did, too. So here's my – so I'll explain my thought process once again because that's what I do. I just talk myself in circles.
Right.
It's going to be a while. Again, I'm not talking next season. I'm not talking even really the season after that. Resume-wise – I think Marlene Stallings will be ready first. The problem is, or at least the issue for me, is that I think the only job she'd really leave here for is Ohio State.
Yes.
Because she's from there. But the issue is that Kevin McGuff, who is the head coach there and is in the NCAA tournament, probably isn't leaving anytime soon. So Stallings had 23 wins this year. Very good chance she makes the NCAA tournament. They lose in the first round. Very good chance they'll make the tournament again next year, I think, and go even farther when you look at what they have coming back. Richard Pitino had a down year this year. They'll be better next year. Richard Pitino has no specific ties, as far as I know, to a lot of different programs. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly he's building his resume. As far as women's college basketball goes, Marlene Stallings, you know, with a Big Ten job is up near the top.
Yes.
I still think that Pitino, there's more options, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
For Richard Pitino. Okay. So I think because of that, he gets the job first.
I went Stallings.
You did?
I did. And because I know we did talk about the Ohio thing with the connection and mm-hmm. that you think that's the only place she would go. I do not think it would be the only place that she'd be going.
Okay.
Or that could go. And just looking back at her resume and how she has never really stayed in one place for all of that long.
Great point.
Is what led me to just say that I think that she'd be moving on first.
That's a great point that she moved on quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, but those jobs were smaller jobs. I mean,
that's
they
true.
Weren't Big Ten, but
that's
but
true.
You make a very valid point.
All so right. I do think that she, like you said too, I don't think it'll be next year. It may be not even the year after that, but.
Now, if they go to the finals next year or win a championship,
then I
could see your point.
Yeah.
If she wants to go to a bigger job, but I mean, unless she's going to go to an SEC job.
Yeah.
I don't know. I you make a really good point. I didn't think about that.
She seems to like to jump in places and just tear them up and.
But
like,
maybe this is a place where she now feels like she could stay for a
maybe.
While.
Maybe.
Now all bets are off as if Norwood Teague doesn't stay, you know, long term here as the athletic director, because he brought her in here. I believe he brought her in at VCU, if I'm correct, or at least they worked pretty well together. And she's a Villa 7 coach. We've all heard about the Villa 7, the coaching fraternity. So it's a good point. Maybe yeah. she could. Maybe I'm going to change my mind. I won't.
Well, that was a quick. Okay.
There you go. I'm not changing
so
my mind,
now
but
we'll
you
move
had
on.
Me almost.
We're just going to move on to the next question.
Next.
Then. Will Wild GM Chuck Fletcher win GM of the Year or Mike Yeo win Coach of the Year? Which one first?
Wild GM. I think Fletcher can win
yep.
Wild GM of the Year.
That's
and here's why. And it sucks because Mike Yeo could very well win Coach of the Year for the very same reasons that he almost lost his job. That is to say, he has nothing to do with it. And not
yeah.
that he's not a good coach, but the reason that the Wild weren't playing well has as much to do with Mike Yeo as the reasons that they're playing well now.
Yes.
The players have to play, and
yep.
you got to put the players there. So
totally agree.
The problem is when you're a coach, you get all the blame
backlash.
When it's bad,
yeah.
and you get almost nothing when it's good. And they haven't been good the entire year.
No.
It took GM to come in and make some additions. Dubnyk,
right.
Stewart, Bergen Floffer, whatever.
Bergenheim.
I always get his name wrong.
Bergen, what do you call it?
Bergen Floffer. Maybe he'll go with
I
that.
I think perhaps we should stick with that.
Bergen Floffer.
I like it.
Yeah, well, there he is, Sean Bergen Floffer. I honestly do believe that Chuck Fletcher could have a shot at winning GM of the Year if it weren't for that pesky Garth Snow over in New York, who Don Lucia loves so much,
yes.
as we all know.
Oh, freaking Garth Snow.
He's done some really great things.
I know.
He's drafted well.
I just think of his playing days, and I automatically just can't help but shake my head.
And you have to not fall in the trap, too, of going past this year. Because what they've done the past couple years in New York with the Islanders,
yeah.
they've drafted very, very well.
Yes,
and a lot of that's to do with Trent Platt, who's former Minnesota, is from Minnesota, and drafted a lot of these guys. He's the head of their table. So he did that too, obviously under the advisement of Garth Snow. And not just this year, but what the Islanders have done this year and playing as well as they've played.
Pretty phenomenal.
It's gonna be, and they've been garbage for a long time.
I know. They have.
Long time. So I think that's his toughest competition. You could make some arguments for others, but I think if someone's going to win it, it's going to be Chuck Fletcher.
Yep, I totally agree.
All right.
Also, next question, last question. What? Okay, you wrote this.
Who?
Okay. You wrote it wrong.
Did I?
Okay, anyway.
I was tired.
Whose 2015 playing situation will be decided first, Adrian Peterson or Greg Jennings? I flipped a coin.
I'm saying Greg Jennings.
That's what I said. My coin flip got me.
Went to Greg Jennings.
Yep.
Did you flip it more than once to get who you wanted, or
no? It was just the one.
Well, here's what I think. Someone will put him on their roster before the draft. They mm-hmm. because in order once you get closer to the draft, you got to figure out what you have and what you need. And a veteran wide receiver like him, who can mentor young receivers, who can, I mean, he's still got it. The guy can still play. We all know that. His effort may not have been 100% all the time, but when it's there, it's fantastic. And he's a great wide receiver and he's got plenty of time left. So someone will put him on their roster before the draft because they want to make sure that they have those needs filled before they have to, figure out what they need to draft.
Yeah.
The Adrian Peterson situation, I feel like may also, this is tough and it's really close. I do feel like the Vikings have a benefit in waiting, but not too long. They have to figure out, I think, what's going to happen to him by draft night. He is going to be a piece that's going to move late. And I do believe he's going to move. I don't think he wants to play here anymore.
No, that's just it. It's like, why would you want to keep a guy that does not want to be here at all?
You don't, but it's also a game of misinformation. And Rick Spielman is absolutely fantastic with this. Rick Spielman, folks, is one of the best when it comes to controlling the information and using it to your benefit. And he does that in the sense that he keeps everything in house. Because let's be honest, from a layman's term looking from the outside right now, what we know is Adrian Peterson doesn't want to be here and the Vikings don't want to pay him $14 million
right.
to be here. So if you're a GM from another team, you're sitting back going, I'm offering you a bag of potato chips and $10 for Adrian Peterson because you have to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You have to. As you get closer to the draft and you're another GM and you're itchy because you really want Peterson, now you have to figure out, okay, am I going to draft a Melvin Gordon, or am I going to draft another running back, then maybe sign Peterson after? Or you're not going to spend that kind of money. You're not going to go and waste a pick on that big running back if you want Adrian Peterson. So you're going to do that before the draft.
Okay.
And the Vikings can't afford to wait till after, because when you get to training camps and mini camps and those kind of things, as soon as he starts to hold out, his value plummets.
Really?
Because they know he's not going to play here. As soon as that happens, although they still manage, and that's what's amazing. If you look back at the Percy Harvin situation a couple years ago, mm-hmm. Percy Harvin said he wanted to be traded. They still were able to get a decent deal for Percy Harvin because mm-hmm. Rick Spielman will not pull the trigger too early if he doesn't feel the offer is good enough. So he will get an offer. I'm going to guess they're holding out for at least a second, maybe a third. I can't see you giving up Adrian Peterson for any less than a second round pick.
No.
And something else. It's just to me, even at 29, 30 years old, and even a couple of years away from his best season, I still can't see you giving him up for less than a second.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
So
yeah.
In my mind, it's really close. I think Jennings goes maybe a week or two before the draft, and I think Peterson goes really, really close, maybe draft night. Maybe that's the time that he gets moved so that they can get another pick and move up and then they can get who they want, or they can take that pick and turn it into more picks.
It's very good thinking, Dave.
I went around and around on this one.
I can tell.
Like I usually do.
Like I said, I flipped a coin.
That works too. That works too.
On that one. Yeah.
Is that our last one?
That is our last question.
All right. It's been fun. Who's on first? When we come back, a very interesting article and a very interesting situation this week. Chris Borland from the San Francisco 49ers, after his rookie season, decided to walk away from the NFL. How big is this going to get, and where is the future of the NFL going with its players? We will discuss that coming up next on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Back to Schwartz and Hammy, the Benchwarmers, on 105 The Ticket.
Welcome back. Benchwarmers.
Dave is furiously writing.
Doing math, actually. That's why you see the smoke coming out of
God.
My head.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, don't let me see it.
Final block here. Benchwarmers, Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket. Dave Schwartz, Jill Hammy. Interesting things going on in the NFL this week. Chris Borland, outside linebacker, rookie, phenomenal rookie, actually from Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
From the San Francisco 49ers. Third round pick, 77th overall, decided he was going to walk away from the game of football after a year. Citing concussions, saying that he's looking down the road, he just doesn't like where this is going to take him and the possibilities of what could happen. CTE, depression, all sorts mm-hmm. of things. And we're seeing it with so many players now.
Yeah.
That the bottom line is that a lot of these guys, there's arguments whether if you're predisposed to it, depending on what the position is. But there's a lot of guys now who are saying, this isn't worth it for me. It's not worth it to bang my head against something every day for a couple million dollars.
And I can only imagine how difficult of a decision that would have to be.
So he's, in fact, and thank you to Sean Hill for catching this, Sean.
Thank you, Sean Hill.
He's going to return three-quarters of his signing bonus. Is that correct? Three-quarters of his signing bonus?
Yep.
Which his signing bonus was $617,000. So he's gonna go, what's that, about $500,000 of that, pretty close to it, $400,000 of that, roughly.
No.
So no, I'm wrong, or no,
no
you don't
I can't
know.
Hear.
Your head smoking.
I can't hear math.
So essentially, he's walking away from a lot of money, and that's what it comes down to.
And it's an insanely tough decision to make, but I get it. I mean, I will never fault anyone for choosing to walk away. You can't.
He is the fifth player under 30 in the last few weeks to retire from the NFL. Patrick Willis retired. Phenomenal linebacker with San Francisco. Played for a number of years. Now he's made a lot of money. Sidney Rice walked away last year saying concussions. I know other guys who have walked away because of concussions. This is becoming a thing, and I don't think it's going to go away.
No, it won't.
And the question for me is, how big is this going to get? And I actually asked this of a friend of mine who used to play in the NFL. Do you ever see a time where guys are going to speak out against the league about how concussions are destroying a lot of players?
But what do you do?
You don't. You don't do it. There is nothing to do.
It's a contact sport.
And here's the problem in my mind. And it's not really all that. It's not brain surgery here, excuse the pun, for lack of a better term. As long as the money's there.
Yeah.
And as long as there are young kids who see this as their way out of bad situations.
Yep.
They'll go. Because in their mind, if you are young and impoverished and need and you want that money, and you see, I mean, you look at television and you see Russell Wilson, although he's going to get paid some, Colin Kaepernick, with these guys with just oodles of money.
Mm-hmm.
And you're closer to it now than ever with social media. And you can see what these guys can do. I mean, they're tweeting about trips to Vegas, to Cabo, all these things.
I mean, it's a hard thing to turn down.
And you see that. And you can barely, I mean, you're riding your bike to work at McDonald's just to get yourself through college or high school, whatever it is. That's a way out.
Yeah, it is.
And to play a game that you enjoy. And they're never going to say no to that.
No. And I get that. I mean, I get both sides, which is, you know, it's hard. It's a tough thing. It's such a, understand that the concussion thing has gotten huge. The discussions are everywhere now. It's a fear.
I mean, it's significantly downgrading players' quality of life post career.
It is, yes.
It's shortening their life.
Yep.
We look at someone like Junior Seau, who took his own life. And we've heard now that Tony Dorsett is seeing signs of early onset depression and CTE.
I mean, how scary is that?
And for what?
Money.
For money. For a lot of money. A lot,
it is a lot of
money. To live a very nice lifestyle. And the question will continue to be, is it worth it?
Right.
The other part of this is that
only they can answer that.
And the league is trying to fight this battle of information, the league, which does so incredibly well with public relations, as we've seen, is trying to fight this battle of misinformation. And we're hearing now that concussions are down over the past couple of years, which I don't believe that for a hot second. I'll tell you that right now.
How do you figure that?
Well, I mean,
Because
they look at the number of players who miss time with head injuries based on what they have in the last couple of years. And they say, oh, the technology's gotten better in helmets and guys are hitting correctly. And no, they're not. A couple of years ago, Peyton Manning came out and said he learned how to flub his baseline concussion test so that when he comes back, he basically does it so poorly the first time, and I believe it was Peyton Manning, that when he has to take it when he has a concussion, he can still pass it.
What?
Now, there's different levels. There's different kinds of tests. But players can figure. Listen, a lot of these guys are smart. And they can figure out ways around it.
Yeah,
and clearly. The smartest guys on the field are probably the offensive linemen, the ones who are beating their heads in the most. And you don't think they can find it out? You don't think John Sullivan, who is a very, very smart guy, could figure out a way to get around that so he can get back on the field?
You're right. You could.
That's what's happening, in my opinion. Concussions are not going down. Nothing's changed, folks. We're still smacking our heads against a brick wall on the other side.
Right.
Concussions don't go down just because they say they do. It's science. You keep smacking your head into a wall, you're going to get a concussion.
Yep. Oh, man.
I think we're going to see more of it. I think we're going to see more. I think we're going to see guys who will take the calculated risk and say, you know what? I'll play for 3 or 4 years. I'll make a couple mil, and then I'll get out. You know, it's like that last robbing of the casino, like Ocean's 11. One more big hit.
Yeah.
Let's get one more hit. Let me play one more season, and I'm going to get out.
And how much does that cost?
How much does that cost you? Yeah. I spoke with one friend who's a former NFL player, and I don't want to give his name for a lot of reasons, but he says to me every time I see him now how good it feels to wake up and no longer be in pain. Because every day of his football career, he woke up and it hurt. And now he gets up and he thinks, man, it's nice to not be in pain. I don't have to worry about it. My this doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt. My head doesn't hurt.
A simple thing that we all take for granted.
And he says because of that, if he had known that years ago,
never would have gone in.
He wouldn't have done it. Yeah. I've talked to former NFL alumni now who have gone through their career who say they don't want their kids playing football. Now, they're not going to speak out against it because, let's be honest, it's hypocritical.
I know.
Right?
I know.
I mean, if you've made millions in football and now you're going to come back and go, well.
I know. And there will always be people ready to jump all over them for that.
Right.
But they've lived it.
There is no easy way out of this situation. And that's what it is. And I don't know if there will ever be a group of players who will get together and set and really, really try to take on the NFL because what's the end game?
I know.
You can't, unless you're going to abolish football, which isn't going to happen.
No.
You can educate and you can let kids know that, okay, this is the risk. All right. Yeah. You're going to make $50 million, but you're taking 20 years off your life. And the next 30 before that, you're going to be miserable, depressed. You're going to forget the faces of your family. I mean,
education is the big thing that needs to be.
ESPN did a great story this week with Ben Utek, former Gopher.
Yeah.
Talking about how he has holes. He doesn't remember going to his friends' weddings. If you haven't seen the story, go to ESPN.com. I'm sure they have it, and it'll bring tears to your eyes. He's a phenomenal voice, beautiful voice, great singer now.
He was down here, actually, at the Ticket for a while. He did some stuff down here.
And he wrote a letter to his daughters. So
oh,
that if
Dave,
he ever,
don't,
I know,
don't.
So that if he ever lost his memory and he did a song about it. And it's amazing. It's beautiful. And they're talking to him and they're talking to his wife and they're sobbing. And I'm sorry, if I'm a prospective athlete, if I'm a prospective football player, a senior in college or junior, whatever you are, looking out, I think about that, right?
I don't know at what, you know, the reality thing isn't always in the forefront, I think, with a lot of younger kids. You know, they don't get it.
And they think they're invincible.
Right. And we all went through that phase. This is just on a much bigger level, you know.
It is.
And they need to understand what they're doing and what they're signing up for. They have to.
There's no easy answer, but I like I said, and circling back with Borland, I think that this is the first of many, and this is not the last.
No.
We are going to see more guys who decide that this isn't the way. They're either going to get in the league or they're going to play college football and then decide, you know what, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore. There will always be.
Yep. There will.
There will always be some kids who still decide to do it.
And I can't fault them for that either.
No, you can't.
Because it's like when someone's waving that money at you, that's a hard thing to turn away. And especially like you said, it's if you've never really had anything in your life.
Or you just love the game and you can't. It's never going to change. It's going to stop only when, I don't know, people stop playing football.
Yeah.
Or they start. I mean, I've heard a lot of the arguments say, well, maybe they shouldn't start playing tackle football until you're in high school. Because as you're, you know, where the real damage is being done is when you're younger.
Is it?
They don't know yet. There aren't enough studies. They're still trying to figure out CTE. I mean, this is only in the last couple of years has this come to the forefront. A lot of athletes, and Matt Burke has spoken out about this, I believe it's Matt Burke, who has said that they're going to donate their brains to the study that's going on in Boston.
Yes, I did hear that, yeah.
So that they can find out more. We know where this is going. What they're going to find out is this is incredibly dangerous.
Well, it reminds me a lot of the Bogaert.
Yeah, and it's all the same thing. Yeah. And I think in the end, we're going to find out it's even more dangerous in other sports. I've heard people make the argument that they should play football without helmets.
What?
So that guys aren't so inclined to smash their heads together. It's crazy, but if you think about it, maybe it's not so crazy.
Right.
Maybe it's not so nuts.
That'd be an awfully big deterrent.
And it's that thought, that feeling that you're invincible because you have this massive piece of plastic and molding on your head.
So that nothing's going to happen. It's fine. It's protected.
Take it away. Go back to the leather helmets that they wore when I was a kid. No, they're older than that. You know, I'm not that old. Go to leather helmets. Maybe they won't feel so invincible. Maybe that's something that happens. I don't ever see that happening because the shock and awe of seeing football players without helmets. I mean, listen, they're going to make them wear thigh and knee pads now. Could you imagine what it's going to be like when you can say you don't have to wear helmets anymore?
No. No.
But it's an interesting idea.
It is an interesting idea, and I can see the logic behind it.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
Is that there's logic and we're agreeing on it.
I know.
Well, what's crazy is that we're done.
I know.
It's kind of sad. Been a fun show. Great show today.
We're going to have to go out into the snow.
So get out your shovels or just don't and do what I do and let it melt. I apologize to my neighbors for that.
It'll melt anyway. I mean,
in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Don't go against. Stick it to the man and don't shovel, folks. That's
hey, Dave, do you want to build a snowman?
Ooh, that's good.
Thank you.
Let's go out and play. I don't know the next line. Thanks to Mark Parrish today. Thank you to Jill. Thank you to Sean Hill over there behind the glass. It's been an enjoyable day. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. This has been the Benchwarmers on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.